What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Healthcare is what we're going to get into right off the bat here with Dean Wheeler, an alternative health practitioner, healthcare practitioner from Novato, California. I want to also mention to you later on in our program, Royce Wallace, autistic DJ, and we'll have another segment of Turkey Hunt with Bill Norgaard. Dean, tell me what you're most concerned about with the Bush administration currently in terms of health care.
Well, Phil, as a health professional, I'm concerned about a number of standpoints about the current administration, and that's why we sent out our emergency email to alternative health practitioners this past Monday, yesterday, about President Bush's what we see are backdoor agreements with the tobacco companies. I just don't have any doubt whatsoever that he's profiting from some form of kickback.
Well, as I've been saying lately to everyone that offers some kind of theory, conspiracy, or otherwise, what's your evidence?
Well, I don't know what you mean by evidence, but...
Well, give me some tangible information based, you know, around...
Well, I was troubled, along with a lot of Americans, to see the picture of the young man smoking a cigarette plastered across thousands of newspapers the last few days. It was a blatant endorsement of a product that's proven to be injurious.
What picture are you talking about?
It was a soldier.
You mean the Marine in Fallujah? That was the shot of the L.A. Times took?
Well, I don't know at whose direction this picture was taken. This young man is in the employ of George Bush. He's smoking this cigarette, sending the message to thousands of young people that smoking is acceptable. And the only thing that keeps the photo from being more harmful is it is a soldier smoking, and American youth are, I think, in a constructive way, very anti-military right now. So they're sort of, they take that with a grain of salt. But nonetheless, the Bush administration's blatantly endorsing smoking.
You can't tie that Marine smoking a cigarette directly to George Bush.
Well, he's the commander-in-chief, Phil.
But it's that soldier's choice. A man is an exhausted soldier. He wants to take a little bit of a smoke break.
Well, I guess you and I have an honest difference of opinion there, and there are millions of Americans, a full 48% of all voters, who know that the soldier smoking that cigarette is a Bush-sponsored endorsement of a multi-billion-dollar, multinationalist tobacco interest. And that's going to wind up killing our children by the millions.
I don't think that's what that photo represents. What that photo represents is it's a candid shot of a soldier.
Well, let me finish my thought if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
We also see this week on a videotape that was aired by NBC, we see and we hear soldiers in another country shouting obscenities at each other, using the F word and this sort of thing, the language apparently endorsed by the Bush administration, because they have nothing to counter this.
You say he's endorsing smoking, obscenity.
Well, the American people, the Bush administration, you have American soldiers in a foreign country using obscenities, using language that we don't want our kids to use.
You're asking soldiers to stop smoking and using obscenity. It's not going to happen.
Phil, let me explain something to you. There are millions of us who voted for John Kerry. There are millions of us who don't appreciate seeing American soldiers endorsing cigarettes and screaming obscenities. That's not what we voted for. We voted for John Kerry to get some accountability.
I'm going to ask you about you being in touch with the White House here in a second, Dean.
But it is about accountability, and for the president to endorse this multinationalist tobacco lobby that is taking the lives of millions, I think is wrong.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler, with the American Alternative Health Practitioners Roundtable, is talking with us about that photograph of that Marine. I forget his name, Chris, if you could look it up. Do you know what his name was, Dean?
I don't have any idea. It was a soldier, and he's using tobacco. And, we have worked in this country tirelessly to try to get the image of smoking out of our public, the public perception, the airwaves, advertising, and so on. And for the Bush administration to endorse it in a cavalier way, in my opinion, only seeks to cause further harm with an administration that's done nothing but harm people. And
all right, you've been in touch with the White House, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to find out, you talked with who?
Well, the American Alternative Healthcare Roundtable, we communicated to Gray Johnson. He works in the press department at the White House, and that every day that goes by where President Bush doesn't disavow these soldiers smoking and saying F you to this and F you to that.
I'm finding his name is Lance Corporal James Blake Miller.
Well, I don't think it's important who he is. I think he...
Well, he's a, just so you know, he was a guy that was in the picture.
But the point is, every day that goes by where President Bush doesn't disavow these soldiers smoking and saying F you to everyone, you know, in a country, is another day we continue to shrink, Phil, in the eyes of the world, and another day that our children are exposed to negative habits and practices with the seeming approval of the Bush administration. And what we want to do, more than anything, Phil, is attempt to get the president to see clearly.
What would you like him to do? Do you want him to say that that soldier should not have been smoking, or that he should not have had his picture taken?
Oh, I think it's clear. He's the commander-in-chief. And he is allowing soldiers in the United States government employ to be, in a cavalier way, using a product which has been deemed by our own Surgeon General to be an injurious product. And when you have soldiers smoking it, and their pictures are on the paper all over so that young people can see this, what you're saying is, well, we told you smoking was wrong. But really, it's a good thing.
Well, you said that the American youth don't think very highly of the military.
Well, that is true.
When you say, you know, they're not going to look at a soldier necessarily as a great role model.
I know, but when it is inundated the way it is, when it's broadcast and it's printed every day, and I notice you even have it on your own website.
Well, we have it on our homepage because that was a pretty cool picture, that's all.
Well, when you say it was a cool picture, you're talking about the image of a smoker.
Look, there is such a thing as journalism. See,
so my point...
No, hold on. Robert Johnson, I've often said, Robert Johnson was the blues singer and a songwriter in the 30s here in the United States, who wrote a great many songs that have become classics. Now, Robert Johnson was photographed at a recording session in Chicago in the late 30s with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. This picture was taken and put on a stamp, and they airbrushed the cigarette out. To me, as a historian...
As well it should have been.
Well, but to me as a historian, that it alters the historical record of Robert Johnson holding a guitar, smoking a cigarette, in a recording studio in Chicago in the 30s, this was the man. And if we embrace the man, don't we embrace all of the man?
Well, I don't think that you celebrate his smoking. I don't know about this person that you're talking about. I'm just talking about...
He's an American musical icon.
Well, I'm talking about these soldiers already in Iraq for reasons that we all know are wrong, are those of us who voted for John Kerry. And now there's a cigarette in his mouth, and my children saw that in the newspaper the other day, and they said, Dad, that's going to make a lot of less intelligent people want to smoke. Fortunately for me, and perhaps for a lot of people listening, my children know right from wrong. But there are so many people in America who have are going to be influenced and they're going to smoke. And the use of obscenities, the way that I heard...
Well, if you're talking about that NBC tape that showed the soldiers shooting the guy...
Well, yes, and they're yelling, in one instance, he's effing dead, he's effing faking it, and they're using the F. That's wrong, too, because it sends a message of incivility and a public behavior that American soldiers, I don't think, in another country should have.
All right, Dean Wheeler is with us here. Our number 1-800-449-8686 about the negative impact of a picture that's been all over the country in the last couple of days of a United States Marine smoking a cigarette. He says that this is an endorsement by the Bush administration of smoking, and the reason? President Bush is receiving monies from the tobacco companies to have his soldiers out there smoking in full view of news photographers. Additionally, he has concerns about a videotape that surfaced. NBC shot it in Iraq, and you can clearly hear soldiers using obscenities, F words and S words and things like that. To Dean and to millions of people who voted for John Kerry, this is another example of a kind of brutish Bush administration. 1-800-449-8686. Should we ask our soldiers, should we limit our soldiers' ability to smoke, or should we ask them not to smoke? Should we prohibit cigarette supplies? And the use of obscenity, how do we keep that from happening? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Be lovely with me. Come on, be lovely.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On with me is Dean Wheeler, an alternative health care practitioner in Northern California, about the Marine who was photographed smoking a cigarette. It's been across the country. You are considering this as an endorsement of cigarette smoking.
Well, I'll go you one further, Phil. In a world, in a country where right now we are prohibiting the advertisement of cigarettes, the advertisement of tobacco products, as well as considering limiting the use of cigarettes or the image of cigarettes in films, to endorse it on the front page of newspapers across the country, simply says that the Bush administration has decided that the almighty dollar from the multinational, multi-billion dollar tobacco industry is too tempting to resist. And we think it's wrong. Senator Kerry, had he been elected,
Senator Kerry was a soldier, too.
I'm well aware of that.
He was in Vietnam.
But I don't see any pictures of Senator Kerry using tobacco. I have no reason to believe that he does. Some coffee. And so, to me, this is the beginning of a slippery slope down which our children are going to be murdered by the millions, by the tobacco industry, with the endorsement of President Bush.
Boy, you're saying a lot there, man. I don't even know where to begin to comment on that. Let me go to a phone call. Amy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Hi. I'm a Kerry supporter, and I just wanted to say that
yes.
I think that photo is a great photo, and I don't think that it would stop running if Kerry was president.
How can you call that a great photo? Well, first of all, we're illegal in Iraq.
I don't know. And let me just finish. It's a piece of journalism, and we have journalistic freedom here in America.
We're illegally in Iraq.
Soldiers are putting their lives on the line every day fighting this, quote, enemy. I mean, certainly they're going to smoke. They should be allowed to smoke. They should be allowed to swear as much as they want.
Well, you realize this is an illegal war.
Evidence of Bush supporting... I support the tobacco industry. This photo is not the evidence of that.
Amy, as a Kerry supporter, you recognize this war as illegal. How can you endorse or even look favorably upon an image from an illegal war endorsing a tobacco product?
Well, I don't think the photo endorses a tobacco product. The photo is just a photo of reality that happens to be going on.
The article...
to do, and that's with a sugarcoat reality.
The article that accompanied it said he was smoking a Marlboro.
Well, this is worth millions to Marlboro. And I don't think those of us who voted for, Amy says she supported Kerry. I don't doubt what she's saying, but the words you're speaking right now are shocking.
I don't think they're shocking.
Well, they are.
I think they're just realistic. And the reason I called in is I don't want liberals to be portrayed as these people who are going to think that soldiers shouldn't be smoking.
Well, they should not be. I don't think they should be smoking in light of the fact that they are looked upon as representatives of our...
Are you saying soldiers shouldn't smoke cigarettes?
I think it's time for the Surgeon General to do his job with regard to the military, yes.
You're not going to tell soldiers not to smoke. One of the first pictures I saw from Iraq...
Soldiers take orders, Mr. Henry. They do it. They don't.
One of the first pictures I saw from Iraq were a group of Marines holding up a sign saying, anybody got any smokes? These poor guys are getting shot at all day long. Can't you let them sit down and have a cigarette?
Well, and
exactly.
And then,
it's absurd to put that sort of... I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well,
but anyway, that's the part I just want to
say. I doubt if you're a Kerry supporter.
All right, Amy, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Tom. Hi, Tom. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I don't know where this guy lives. He must live on Mars because he's not in touch with him. Be quiet, please.
United States of America.
Now, wait. I listen to you. Now you listen to me.
I just want you to know I live in the same country you live.
I don't even care where you live. It seems like you live in Mars. Now, let me finish.
It's ridiculous. No one lives on Mars.
These soldiers are over there. They're in a war. They don't want to be there. We don't want them to be there, but they have to be there to protect us. They're doing what they can. They get shot at. They get killed. Their buddies get killed. To have a cigarette doesn't mean that Bush is endorsing him. There was a journalist that took that picture, not Bush. Bush didn't tell him to smoke. And if this is what Kerry would have been like, we would have had a socialistic state. And
well,
boy, am I glad Kerry wasn't elected, because we would be in a lot of trouble. And soldiers would be told when to polish your shoes and when not to. Everybody would be doing it if you...
What's with the phones tonight? These cell phones are... Tommy, there? All right, I guess we got some cell service problem. You were going to say...
Well, that gentleman is saying, in other words, if someone dies, then I should be allowed to start smoking again. People who have given up the cigarette habit and have struggled with giving up the cigarette habit for a great many years, and then a loved one dies, what that man just said, which seems incomprehensible, is that after you've had the funeral, or perhaps even if you're having the wake, why don't you just go ahead and light a weed up? And that is incomprehensible. And those soldiers over there are behaving, I think, in a way that makes all American soldiers, as well as Americans, look like crude, tobacco-sucking, obscenity-spewing imbeciles.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Crude, tobacco-sucking, obscenity-spewing imbeciles. You really believe that?
Well, look at our world image. John Kerry cared about our world image. Bush doesn't.
Let's go over to Julie. Julie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, this is Julie in Tennessee, and I had to literally pull over my car so I would not wreck listening to this guy. I am laughing out loud. I have anything this funny in my life.
Really?
I have never called a talk show before.
That's very interesting, Julie.
You seem to be really interested in the fact that the picture was in a lot of the media. Well, do you realize
that
if Bush could control the media, they would not be the liberal people that they are.
Liberal?
I
don't think Rush Limbaugh is liberal. I don't think Sean Hannity... I don't know where you're getting this liberal media.
You want our president to tell our soldiers not to smoke?
Yes.
But you want our president to tell gays that they can marry. So it's okay to tell them they can't do this, but if they're gay and they want to marry another man, they can do that.
We are simply trying to protect the children. We're trying to protect children.
Well,
if you think that it's all right for children to smoke cigarettes, then fine, but we don't think.
It would take a lot to convince me that you would say that that picture of that strong, wonderful, willing to fight for my freedom soldier with a cigarette in his hand.
Well, you are
convinced my 5-year-old to go buy a pack of cigarettes and start smoking. That cracks me up. That is
individual.
I can't even have this conversation with someone that is on heroin or something.
All right, hold on. What do you want to say?
This woman, I think, is indicative of what happened in the country over the last 48 hours. There are a lot of women who've fallen in love with an image. And why don't you have the honesty to say, there's something sensual going on for you.
I've never even seen the picture. This is the first I've heard of it.
How do you know he's strong?
Excuse me?
Well, how do you know what the picture looks like then?
I don't know what the picture looks like. I think
you are reacting in a sensual, sexual way. I'm trying to protect children. And you're bringing sex into this conversation.
I've never seen the picture.
You are trying to bring sex into it.
Men and soldiers are strong, wonderful protectors of our
Don't bring sex into a discussion about children. Thank you.
You're a freak. You are a freak.
No, you're the freak.
All right, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. That soldier smoking a cigarette, is that going to get kids to smoke cigarettes?
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler joins me. He's a reactive. He's an alternative health practitioner from Novato, California. What does that mean, alternative health care practitioner?
We are holistic. We are believe in chiropractic kinesiology, some of the alternative health care.
Are you camping? Because I heard you say something about coffee, and I can hear a campfire.
Yes, we are. We're at the base of Mount Diablo in the East Bay, and we're enjoying a evening, beautiful California fall evening. Most of what I do, Phil, is to endorse good health. And when you see an American soldier who is already causing so much pain and suffering in Iraq...
I'm not going to have you talking that way about...
Well, as a Bush supporter, I didn't think you would. But
let's forget about what he's doing over there, okay? I'm not going to have the soldiers politically positioned here. You don't like him smoking a cigarette.
No, I don't like him smoking a cigarette.
Anyway. Well, I had a call off the air. If John Kerry had been elected president, would our soldiers be smoking right now?
No, they would not.
They would not?
No, John Kerry would have... sent a very positive message to our children that we care about you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bud, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
You got me on there now?
Yes, I do, Bud. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm 81 years old.
Hello, Bud. This is Dean.
I fought in combat in two wars.
Oh, that's too bad.
I had the opportunity to command different positions. Had a lot of men with me.
Yes, sir.
About the time I told them they couldn't smoke a cigarette, they would tell me where to go in a hurry.
Well,
and it wouldn't be because anybody who was president of the United States.
Well, do you think
another thing, these pseudo intellectuals,
what they were doing?
Beg your pardon?
This is Dean, but do you think they smoked because they felt guilty about killing people?
What?
Well, what about carrying a gun? There's a lot of people here in the United States think people ought not to own firearms. Well, you want to do, take all those boys' firearms away from them and tell them to fight the war with their fists?
Hey, Bud, this is Phil Henry. Can you hold on, Bud? You're a war veteran, a combat veteran, sir?
Yes, sir.
Right, I want to bring on a gentleman in Alhambra to join you. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir. This is Lloyd Bonafide, sir.
And you are a combat veteran, sir?
Yes, sir. I was in the United States Navy at Chosin Reservoir in Korea. We pulled the Marines out of there. And this guy you got on right now, I just heard what the other, is the other gentleman there, Bud?
That's just Navy guy. If he's up there, they're up to Choto Island, way up above the parallel.
Oh, hey, you and I ate some of the...
Okay, you got to watch your language. You can't say that word.
I'm sorry. I was just saying he and I ate some of the same dirt together. Listen, this guy you got on right now, let me tell you what. If somebody would have looked at me and said, hey, put that cigarette out, buddy, I would have put it out in one of his eyeballs.
Well, Mr. Henry, do you endorse this attitude?
Do I endorse what attitude?
The idea that if I were a commander in the military or something, and I told one of these two gentlemen to put their...
You've never been anywhere. You haven't been in any combat.
You don't know
what it is.
Well, sir, I don't want to go to a foreign country and kill...
You wouldn't go anywhere and shoot at anybody.
Hey, let me tell you something. If they sent you over there to do a job and you didn't, I'd shoot you right in the back as you were taken off over the hill with the medical supplies.
You think so? You've been dead before you got off one shot.
I just think that smoking cigarettes is very unhealthy.
Have you been in the service?
I beg your pardon, sir?
Have you ever been in the military service?
Sir, I would not join the military for philosophical reasons. I think that it's...
Were you ever in the military service, yes or no?
Why don't you answer the man's question?
No, the answer is no. But
that's right. That's what I thought.
You've never
had anybody shooting at you.
Sir, there's enough combat right here in America. Uncle Sham has made
You've never had anyone shooting at you.
You know what? I'll shoot at you right now.
You've never had anyone fire a weapon at you.
Well, so what difference does it make?
You don't know what it is to be fired at.
Well, what does that mean?
Your 19-year-old kid over there is scared to death, and he wants to smoke a cigarette, and you're
going
to try to blame that on the President of the United States.
I was diagnosed.
You're nothing but a pseudo-intellectual with a very weak mind.
You know what we used to do to guys like you?
You couldn't do anything to me, buddy.
This is Lloyd. I'm not this queer that we're...
Watch the Q word.
I beg your pardon, sir. I just want to say that a guy like this, we used to take him around back, when nobody was looking, get out a big jar of Crisco, bend him over.
All right, I don't want to.
Can you hear this?
That just proves exactly what I was thinking of this guy.
There is enough.
He's nothing but one of these pseudo-intellectuals, one of these professional students.
Are you a smoker?
Who doesn't know his right hand from his left hand.
He's
a carry man. And he's mad because they lost the election. He's trying to say that because a boy is over there fighting a war to save his rear end for him, he's
going
to take everything and charge it against Bush. It's ridiculous. I'm not
going
to let him say a word. I'm
going
to talk right over top of him.
Bud, hold on.
The more he talks, the more I'm going to talk.
I understand, Bud, but I'm
not going to let anybody hear
anything
he has
to say.
So, you know, you're going
to
get a job. Crisco and do something to me.
No, I wouldn't
ain't
do
no
it to
way
you,
you'd
Jeff
ever put anything on me, boy.
About you. I was
because
talking
I'd
about
have
the other
you
guy.
So quick, you
Are
wouldn't
you
know what happened
me?
To you.
Why would I want to do
you're
it to you?
Nothing
I was
but
talking
a,
about
just
a guy
blowhard.
There,
hold on, hold on, whoa, 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 whoa.
These guys are talking about Crisco-ing each other up.
We're not getting away with it.
Are we going to try to oil me up or something?
Why would you guys oil me up? I wasn't going to oil
you up, you bastard.
World War II and Korea. And you sat at home.
Hold on, everybody, hold on.
And all those guys did the thing to me.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You're
hold on.
You're not going to get a word in.
You're not going
to get it all on
Bud,
top of me.
Bud,
no
it's
way.
Phil. Hold on. Bud,
I'll
it's Phil.
I'll just talk that on top of you as long as you want to talk.
Bud.
You're talking to a real vet now, boy.
Bet.
You're not talking to one of these young punks. I had people under my command, and if they wanted to smoke a cigarette, I didn't care
right
for you.
I told the guy. Oh, he's not there.
Hey, Bud, are you there? Where's Bud? I it's too freaky for words, man. I can't deal with Bud and Dean. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, but I feel violated. I think that what you've had here are two men who are war veterans who have been colored by their experience. War can be very hateful, and certainly those two men and that one man talked about. You know, violating me from behind.
He's a little strange. That was a little strange comment.
Yes.
All right. I got to move on. You know what I think? Here is Veronica. Go ahead.
I can't stop laughing. That was just insane.
Well,
okay.
You've got two soldiers who are talking about violating me.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, may I please ask, Lloyd, is that his name?
Mr. Wheeler, Dean Wheeler.
Okay, Dean.
Yes.
Can I please ask you while I make my comments that you not interrupt me?
I don't want to interrupt you, but when you say something that's wrong, I have to point it out.
Let her just say what she has to say, then you guys can debate it.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. No one can get a word in edgewise with you. It's like you have to control everything, which is, I guess, what you're proposing that our leadership in this country do, which, last I checked, we have freedom here. But here's my comment. First of all,
you didn't make your comment. You made a big preamble, and then now you're doing your comment.
May I?
And that's wrong.
Let her finish. Let the lady finish.
You're an idiot, and you're rude, and you don't let anybody talk except for yourself.
I've had Republicans flick cigarette butts at me on the
floor.
What?
Anyway, the comment that I want to make is this.
That wounds me very
deeply. Who do you expect to fight for our country? Because you're obviously too much a coward, too. I know I don't want to fight for this country. It's probably one of the most difficult things that could ever happen. If I don't believe in smoking for me, and for I think it's a horrible health thing.
Well, and look, they'd blow smoke right in your face.
Comment,
if you were over there.
Why do you so rudely interrupt me?
They'd be smoking in your face.
Let me finish what I want to say.
Will you let her finish?
God.
I want to just agree with the lady.
Anyway,
what are you doing back?
I fought my way off a hold.
Hold on. Go ahead, Veronica.
Okay. Here's my point is this. He just doesn't seem to understand that these guys are terrified every day fighting for us. We're not out there on the front lines doing it. I'm not saying that smoking a cigarette is for your health. I know that President Bush doesn't believe that way.
Right.
But the thing I do know is that if they need to unwind...
Veronica, hold on. We got to take a commercial break. You'll be right up right after we take this break, okay? So just hold the line.
This is the
Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. Are we clear, Bud?
Yeah.
Can I talk to... Is Dean there? Dean?
Yes, Mr. Hendry.
let the people finish because we're having some complaints.
Well, you've got a lady on the phone here who is obviously a Kerry supporter, but she won't admit it.
I don't know. She didn't say anything about that. All right, so what I'm just asking you to do is to let her talk.
Well, she says she doesn't like to smoke. And I don't know why she would lie like that. You know, the soldiers are spreading Bush's evil secondhand smoke along with shooting at innocent Iraqis. And this bitch that you have...
Watch the language when we get back on the air. All right, hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
30 seconds.
We're back on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, Veronica. You're on with Dean Wheeler.
Okay. First of all, I don't believe that throwing a name at me is a very nice...
I didn't call you a name.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
I heard it.
What? When did I call you a name?
You just did it off the air. In any case...
I did not call her.
Well, did we not have her on hold?
Yeah, I was here. I could hear her.
I didn't say it.
Well, she could hear you call her a B-I-T-C-H.
I did
exactly.
not say that. I did not say that.
Okay,
yes, you did.
Somebody impersonating you said it. Anyway, what I want to say is this. If you believe that we don't live in, that we believe, I mean, you must think we live in a dictatorship.
Will you please get to the point? I have a lot that I want to say.
Oh, my God.
And you're just blabbering
you sure
on and on.
And evidently you think that you are the... Oh, my gosh, is this
Will you grow
violent?
Up and let the lady finish?
Well, she's not saying anything. And I have points I want to make.
You have?
A 10-point plan
you...
about the smoking and everything. And those soldiers, yes, they should be told not to smoke. And why are they using four-letter words?
They're in combat, dude.
Well, listen to you. You can't even talk to somebody like me, a caller, without calling me a name.
I didn't call you a name. I called...
You did.
No, I didn't.
You said I was a blank.
How do you know that?
Because she heard you.
I was here with
those soldiers are spreading Bush's evil smoke. And
what is it with Bush?
You know what, Mr. Bush? You know what, President Bush? You are crazy. Because, and that's obvious that you're crazy. Because you would never have the courage to put your rear end on that front line and fight for our country.
Put some hickory in it.
Believe me, you wouldn't be able to just smoke a cigarette. You'd be doing everything there is in life. In fact, I believe that you are, something happened to you. You're brain damaged, dude. You need to, like, get a life.
You know, you sound just like a minor bird chirping away. Chirp, 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 little
you
birdie.
You sound like a little,
Let's put
a little
her in a
cowardly panty
lay a plank. What, did you call me? Oh, you're calling
you're
me queer.
Whining,
now you're calling
whining.
Me queer. Are you calling me queer?
She didn't use
whiner.
That word.
I'm calling you a whiner.
Okay, let's put a cage over your... let's put a blanket over...
I don't want any wine with my dinner, thank you so much.
Oh, isn't that funny? Isn't that original? Isn't that... Oh, God, I hate you. I really hate you.
You hate
I hate,
me? Oh,
yes, I hate you because of what the soldiers are doing to Iraqis and smoking and everything.
Hey, maybe they'll kill the Iraqis with secondhand smoke.
Let's
put a blanket over your cage and say night-night, little birdie.
Can I just tell you something? You're so lucky we don't live in a dictatorship, or you would not have a chance to be venting yourself on everyone out there.
Veronica, can I say something?
You're absolutely paranoid.
Paranoid? There are millions of people who don't like smoking.
Need I say more?
You know, if I wasn't such a peaceful man, I'd kick your teeth in for the things you...
Oh, my God, but you're...
Did you hear that?
I would, but I don't believe... Veronica, how's Archie? How's Archie?
I love that, honey.
Oh, man.
Fun.
Dean, why don't you get back to your campfire, huh?
You know what? Bring it on.
I'd kick your ass.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
I would.
Man. You're...
Say what? Email me. You can email me at DeanWheeler.
Thank God you're not fighting for the country.
Someone please shut her up. Please, God, shut her up.
Man.
Oh, God, shut her up. Please, God. Oh, I hate it. Please email me at DeanWheeler@PhilHenryShow.com. I'd be happy to have a sensible email with you. But, oh, God, I hate you so much
I wouldn't waste my breath on you, dear.
DeanWheeler. I hate you.
All right, okay.
Pass me some Sanka. Give me some of that smoke trout. I hate... Oh, I hate... I'm full of hate.
Woo! Dean Wheeler and his alternative... You ain't going to get those cats to not smoke over in Iraq, dude. Freaking soldiers. You got a guy shooting at you. At least you give the guy a cigarette and let him, I don't know, say an F word every now and again. Did you hear the NBC tape? Now they're going to be busting on this guy because you know, all those bodies over there, a lot of them are booby-trapped. In other words, what the Iraqis will do, the insurgents, not the Iraqis, I shouldn't call them Iraqis because they're Syrians, they're Chechnyans, they're Iranians. There's very few of them that are actually Iraqi. Do you understand it? They're considered, these insurgents are considered foreigners by the Iraqis, and they're scared to death of them. They're foreigners. They're not even, it's not a homegrown insurgency. That's why this is not Vietnam. That's why this is a winnable war, because these are not even Iraqis that are fighting our guys. They are Syrians and Iranians and Chechnyans and Saudis. They're Jordanians. Anyway, these dudes will rig a booby trap to a dead body so that when a Marine walks over to turn the body over to check it, it'll blow up. And they have had weapons underneath their sheets under flags of surrender. Can you imagine that? A flag of surrender? What makes these guys, the poor Marines, how can you assume those guys are going to observe any conduct of any, you know, rule of war? These guys come out with a flag of surrender, and then they pull out the what do you want?
Why don't you put that guy back on? He was making more sense. That queer mate that was talking about the smoking.
Who's this?
This is Lloyd Bonafide. And that guy, Bud, thinks that I was talking about him. What a freak.
I know. Hold, just get out of here. How does that guy keep getting on my phone line? 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, Laura Bush wouldn't say crap if she had a mouthful of it.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up, we have Royce Wallace, autistic DJ, turkey hunt with Bill Norgard. We have Jim Randolfi from the California Chamber of Commerce and Don Chow, ancient Chinese for beginners. Bud, come here for a minute.
What?
Come here.
What?
Don't say what. Come here.
What?
I want you to stick around. I want you to give me a driver's test thing.
Why?
Well, if you have to know, it's because I'm getting my driver's license renewed, and I need to take the California driver's test. I want you to give it to me. Give me the thing.
Has this got something to do with Crisco?
Listen, smartass.
Don't hurt me.
Just, it ain't got nothing to do with Crisco. I want you to read me questions out of this California driver handbook so I can get my license, you sick freak.
Every time you talk to me, it's a disrespect.
That's because you're asking me, what? Just come here and do what I tell you to do. By the way, you want to email Dean Wheeler? It's deanwheeler@philhenryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve Dooley will join us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Tonight, Royce Wallace, autistic DJ, will join us, as will Bill Norgard with Chapter 2 of his turkey hunt, getting ready for Thanksgiving. Also, Don Chow, ancient Chinese for beginners. On our program, we'll also take a look at the news. So, Bud, what I want you to do is, for you guys listening, I got to take the written test for my driver's license renewal. So, I'm studying this handbook, Bud, and what I want you to do,
yeah,
is, you know, read me some questions. Just look over it. You had the handbook the last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm gonna get some good questions.
Good. So, ask me some questions out of that handbook, so I know that I can pass the test. Okay.
All right. Who's the governor of California?
What's that got to do with driving?
It's in a handbook.
That's the letter that the guy writes.
What?
The governor of California writes a freaking letter to tell... welcome to the California... You don't have to ask me stuff like that. Ask me something about driving.
Well, just in case you don't know, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who?
Schwarzenegger?
Schwarzenegger, you idiot! Right there, Schwarzenegger. What do you mean Schwarzenegger?
I'm sorry.
Just read me something out of the book.
Well, I'm looking for something good.
Anything, man.
All right. How do you turn the car on?
Listen, Dickman.
What did I do?
Ask me a question. What do you mean, how do I turn the car on? Give me a question about the freaking book. There's questions in the back there.
Where?
Page 85, read them. I got to know what I'm doing here, okay? I got to get my license renewed.
All right. It's a very windy day. You're driving. Can I do it with emotion? And
yeah, go ahead. Do it with emotion.
It's a very windy day. You're driving and a dust storm blows across the freeway, reducing your visibility. You should drive slower and turn on your A, interior lights, B, parking lights, C, headlights.
Turn on your headlights.
No.
What is it?
Interior light.
What? How do you... The answers are at the bottom of the thing.
Well, I think you should turn on your interior light.
I'm not asking you what you think. Tell me what's in the book, you jackpot. Give me that thing, man. I was right. Headlights.
Number two, at all intersections, crosswalks, and railroad crossing, you should always stop, listen, and proceed cautiously. Look to the side of your vehicle to see what's coming, or slowly pass vehicles that seem to be stopped for no reason.
Look to the side of your vehicle to see what's coming.
Well, you shouldn't slowly pass vehicles that seem to be stopped for no reason.
What's the real answer, man?
Well, you're right. Look to the... Well, why not? Why isn't it C?
Dickman, do you have a driver's license?
No.
You ride a motorcycle with no license, huh?
Well, I got a motorcycle license.
Look, jackass. Why would I want to look slowly past vehicles that seem to be stopped for no reason? They're stopped at a railroad crossing.
Well, that's what I do. I don't know. What if there's no train coming?
You still got to stop.
I'd go around them.
Yeah, with a train barreling down on your rear end, huh? You'd be 180 pounds of hamburger on those tracks. Read me another one.
All of the following practices are dangerous to do while driving. Which of these is also illegal? Well?
Well, how am I supposed to know? You didn't give me the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Give me the answers.
Well, you want the answer?
Give me the multiple choice. Well, you know, I gotta have Mark or Chris do this stuff, man. Don't you understand what I'm doing? I want to get my license.
Why are you yelling and everything?
Yelling? This isn't brain surgery, dude. Just give me the freaking questions that they give you there.
All right. Well, all of the following practices...
I know. Give me the multiple choice.
All right. A, listening to music through headphones that cover both ears. B, adjusting your outside mirrors. C, transporting an unrestrained animal inside a vehicle.
Listening to music through headphones that cover both ears.
All right, let me see. The answer is listening to music through headphones that cover both ears. You're wrong.
I just said that that was the answer.
I thought you said you can't transport animals.
No, I didn't say it, and if I did, I'd say animals, not aminals. I said listening to music.
What about if it covered only one ear?
Maybe that's cool. I don't know.
All right. Here's the next one. Water can be used to put out what kind of fire? Gasoline, chemical, no of the above.
Is that in the handbook?
No, but I'm getting my Boy Scout badge, and I want to...
Give me that thing, man. I'm not interested in your freaking Boy Scout badge.
I thought I'd just kind of throw that one in.
Yeah, that's great. No of the above. All right.
Can I do a Jim Rome outro now?
We're all done, man, okay?
Can I do a Jim Rome outro?
Yeah, do your Jim Rome outro.
I'm Bud Dickman. Out!
I gotta get my license, man, huh? You know, the last time I renewed my license, I flunked that thing two times, and if they said if you flunk it one more time, you gotta take a driving test? I mean, I was embarrassed. Why? Because I'm like a lot of people, I don't study the book, right? I figure, well, what's to know? I mean, I haven't had a ticket, and I don't know how long. Honest to goodness, I can't remember the last time A moving vehicle violation? I can't even remember. It must have been back in Atlanta or something. I think I got stopped in Miami once, but the guy didn't give me a ticket. But I got to, you know, take the written test, and I got an appointment that I went on a website. You can go on the DMV website, which is really cool, and you set up your appointment, man, and you're set up, all right? But in the meantime, I went into the DMV today to get the driver's handbook. They're all out of the ones in English. They got a million of them in Spanish. Now, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? People can read the English. They don't need the Spanish. How many Spanish-speaking people we got in California where they got all these Spanish handbooks left over, and they had a million of them in Thai and Vietnamese and Cambodian and five different dialects of Chinese? I think they probably even had one in, like, Esperanto, but they didn't have none in English. So I was able to cop one of those things, and I'm doing my studying. I feel kind of stupid. Did you know that, for instance, a bike lane? I don't want to get into it.
No, go ahead, because I like bikes.
Not motorcycles. I'm talking about bicycles.
All right.
That you can't enter a bike lane until, like, what, 200 feet or something before the intersection? Can't drive in that bike lane at all.
Do they have any books in Klingon? Sorry.
All right, 1-800, yeah, well, you know what, bud, who knows? With enough pressure applied, we may get some California driver handbooks in Klingon one of these days. 1-800-449-8686, the 8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Royce Wallace, I'm starting to sound like you, bud.
Aminal?
Yeah. Royce Wallace will be here with his aminals. Anyway, Royce is here, his artistic DJ act, Don Chow with Ancient Chinese for Beginners. What is this show here? Turkey Hunt with Bill Norgard. Tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Don't forget to order your Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. It's available now online at www.philhenryshow.com. Our 2004 CD is called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. So pick it up, and you'll have another for your collection. It's only $20. You get a double CD set, and all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You're listening to K. Mozart, classical music for all of America. And now Royce Wallace with more classical music from the likes of Beethoven, Mozart, Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, and others. Here is Royce Wallace. All right, and welcome to the Royce Wallace Show. And that was a classical piece there by The Doors called Love Her Madly. Don't you love her? She's walking out the door. I always like that lyric. I am Royce Wallace. This is the Autistic DJ Royce Wallace program. And The Doors, of course, with Love Her Madly. Love Her Madly. I've loved some women madly, I can tell you that much right there. That was Jim Morrison along with the boys, Ray Manzarek, Robbie Krieger, and John Densmore with Love Her Madly. That song was originally from the album L.A. Woman. And L.A. Woman, of course, was the LP the Doors were most proud of since Strange Days. Probably their two favorite albums, Strange Days and Love Her Madly, off of course, what I'm trying to say is off of the L.A. Woman LP, Jim Morrison, Ray Manzarek, Robbie Krieger on the guitar, and of course, John Densmore on the drums. A outstanding piece of music right there here on the Royce Wallace Autistic DJ Show. We are taking some of your requests right now, and call us here at K Mozart, and you can hear all of the great classical music. Hi, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Royce, and I'm enjoying the Doors music that you're playing, but I do primarily like to listen to classical music.
Okay.
And I don't know why you're not playing any.
I just played The Doors, Love Her Madly, and before that we heard Riders on the Storm by The Doors, and The Unknown Soldier.
Yeah, that's right. You are autistic, right?
I am Royce Wallace, the autistic DJ. Is there a problem, sir? I don't understand.
Look, I want to hear a piece by name of it. It goes, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, yeah.
You know that song?
Yes.
Would you play that for me and not another Doors song?
Of course I will. This is the Classical Music Station.
Yeah, right. But I really, honest to God, I really, really, really want to hear Mozart. I don't want to hear another Doors song. Okay?
Of course I won't play the Doors, sir. This is Classical Music Station. You want to hear Mozart? I'll play that for you.
You got to promise me that you're going to, because I did something bad. I did something bad.
What did you do, sir?
I went out to the garage, and I got my leaf blower. And there's an exhaust vent on the back of the leaf blower, and since I've been listening to this classical music station and all you've been playing is Doors music, it's driven me to consider taking my own life unless you can play Mozart for me. Please don't make me do something bad. I want to do anything bad. I don't want to do anything bad.
You're not going to do anything bad, sir. I'm going to play Mozart for you.
Because if you don't, I'm going to hurt myself. I might hurt somebody else. Please don't play the Doors.
I'm not going to play the Doors. Listen to him. Aren't you silly?
You're going to play Mozart?
Yes.
Would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Would you swear that if you don't play the Doors, you hope you get cancer of the eye and lose just one of your eyeballs?
I hope I get cancer of the eye and lose an eyeball if I don't play the Doors.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Here is... did I say don't play the Doors? If I do play the Doors.
Yeah. Yeah. Play Mozart.
Here is Mozart on the Royce Wallace Autistic DJ Show.
People are strange.
Okay, that does it. What
a funny noise. I don't remember a leaf blower in People Are Strange. Maybe it's a remix.
When you're strange.
The Royce Wallace Classical Music Show. Royce is autistic.
This is the Mozart Concerto done in C minor, played by James Morrison, Robert Krieger, Raymond Manzarek, and Jonathan Densmore of The Doors. I like that Royce Wallace show. The only problem with Royce is he's always playing that Doors music. Other than that, I dig his show. There's Royce. A real piece of work. 1-800-449-8686. Going to do a flashback from our show on... We had Clara Bingham on the show on Friday. And Clara was on talking, about having to do with white women chasing black men. She said there's just too many very eligible young black men who need to be married to black women to have all these white women getting their, quote, mud hooks into them. Here's Clara.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I've dated a black man. Dated for a black man for all 5 years, and it's the black man that seeks the white woman out. I'm Mexican, and they're the ones that seek the woman out, not the woman seeking the man out.
You're Mexican?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, that's not quite the same thing.
It is. I've lived in America all my life.
Well, I know, but you're not. But you're not.
I'm American.
You're not white.
I am American.
You're American, yes, but you are.
But
you're basically black.
The black man does not seek the white woman. Is the one that seeks the seeking out.
I don't know.
It's not
in
the woman.
Your case,
and
we can't
I don't
be sure
any man's money around or their
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold. Everybody, hold on. Everyone's talking over each other.
I'm just simply saying, Phil, in her case, it's not really the same thing.
Why?
Because
it's the same thing.
She's Mexican, and there is a little bit more of a black thing going on with them than there is white women.
Are you saying, in other words,
there
Carmen being
no.
Mexican, she's not white?
Not the kind of white woman I'm talking about.
Well, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman?
The middle class, yeah.
I am middle class.
Not some purple nail polish wearing. You just said, I am not no. You see, your language is like from El Monte or something, darling.
No, I'm from Vista, California, and I'm not from El Monte.
Well, you're
no home girl or anything.
Well, you sound like a hoochie mama with that no, I ain't no kind of language, right?
Oh, no. The only hoochie mama
what do you mean,
is
hoochie?
Your girlfriend.
My girlfriend, I'm an educator with a 4-year degree
so
as a teacher. You are a teacher and you speak that way, that kind of English?
Oh, excuse me.
What do you teach?
I work.
I said I was a teacher. You said you were too. So what do you teach?
I've taught everything. And I'm also work for the greatest place
everything?
Ever.
Let me ask something. Do you know how to remove a cuticle? I think that's what she means by teaching.
All right, now wait a minute.
No, I'm not no person that
I'm not
name.
No. Here she goes with that language again. Girlfriend, you have got to get a book on English and learn how to construct an English sentence much
you
more.
You teach what? Preschool?
I teach young people how to say I am, not I'm not no.
Excuse me.
All right.
Me.
Yes, that's right. Now, you go get your purple nail polish and go out and find yourself an African man or whatever it is you...
Yeah, you're African
You're speaking down.
You don't teach speech, do you, darling?
Don't need to.
Have you?
I really don't need to.
Where did you teach
basket
weaving?
When I'm talking to a woman like you, I really don't need to.
Well, wherever you taught people how to weave baskets, I think you need to.
Now you're putting the Native American down?
Well, if that's what you are.
Are you putting the Native American down too? The original American?
I guess you're going to tell me you're that too, huh?
I am that too.
Then you're Mexican, and now you're Indian? Look, the Indians...
Indian? What is Indian?
You know, the Indians with the whole war hoop thing. Is that what you say you are?
We're Indian?
Wait a minute.
I thought we were Native American.
Well, all right, whatever whatever floats your boat.
Everybody that's listening to the Henry Show, Native Americans, please call this woman because she knows nothing of what she's talking about.
Well, I tell you what, next time you have a war dance...
I've never heard of an Indian.
Why don't you sweep out your teepee and invite me in for a cup of whatever you have, and we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But next you'll be telling me you're a leprechaun.
Bill Henry Show. Comedy gold.
Go to Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Joe, you there?
Phil, I wanted to ask a favor of you and your listeners. If you could tell my girlfriend that I left her earrings and her necklace in your car.
Hold on for a minute. Now, what are you saying? That I left or that you left?
That I left?
That I left.
Oh, I don't know.
Sir? You still there?
Yeah.
What did you want to say?
Didn't you leave your earrings in my car?
Yes, that's what it was.
Okay, yeah.
You want me to tell your girlfriend that?
Yeah.
All right, get her on the phone. I don't know. Why do I have to say that?
Well, she found your earrings in my car.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I thought I left my earrings in your car, and
I didn't understand how this bit was going.
I left my perfume and G-string in your car, but you left your...
Just get the girlfriend on the phone!
Hi.
Yeah, I left my earrings and my G-string in your boyfriend's car.
Oh, all right. Well, I feel better.
Thanks, Phil.
You're welcome. Who is this?
This is Condoleezza Rice.
All right, great. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Alice, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Hi.
Phil, I don't know if you know this or not, but you were just jacked by crank yankers. I'm pretty sure you were jacked by crank yankers. In the preceding...
No, what do you mean, well, I was jacked by crank yankers?
Well, in the phone call I just heard, there was a voice of a woman saying that white women shouldn't go out with black men.
Yeah, that's me.
No, that was Crank Yankers jacking you. That was Jimmy Kimmel's show jacking you. And I just thought you ought to know.
No, hold on for a minute. That was me.
What was you? That was Jimmy Kimmel's Crank.
No, that was me doing the voice of that lady.
I don't understand.
I wasn't jacked by freaking Crank Yankers. I did that voice. The lady that called in was jacked.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel is the one who invented the idea of...
He didn't invent diddly squat.
Well, I've been a very big fan of crank yankers, and I love to see them jack people.
Oh, hold on for a minute. Let me explain something, if you don't mind, ma'am.
Certainly.
When my show first came on the air in Los Angeles, I've been doing this kind of show since 1990.
Mm-hmm. I'm all ears. I am. I'm that interested for a few minutes.
Thank you. I've been doing this kind of show since 1990, where I pretend I'm a character, and then people call in.
All right.
Now, I got on the air in Los Angeles in 1996. Now, this might be interesting for you to hear and for people at home to listen to. As of 1996, October, when I got on the air in L.A. doing my show, there wasn't even any interest or hint of any television show anywhere doing anything having to do with goofing people or doing any kind of a candid camera thing. Candid camera was like the 1960s, and goofing people with phone calls wasn't even on television at all.
All right.
All of a sudden, within the next 2-3 years, as writers in this town started listening to my show, and I happen to know they listen to my show because I know a lot of them, and TV executives listen to the show, and I happen to know they did because they tell me. All of a sudden, what do we get? We get crank yankers, punked.
Well, what about Jamie Kennedy? Surely he is an original.
No, original? The freaking Jamie Kennedy even mentioned me in a magazine article as being a guy who he, you know, admires that kind of humor. What that basically meant was he listened to my show and got the idea for his.
Well, what about Ali G? He couldn't have heard you over in England.
Oh, he couldn't have heard me in England? There's some chick came over from England to write about my show. And those guys over there, they got the internet.
Well, I think you got jacked by crank yanker.
I'm telling you, it was me doing the voice.
Well, Phil, you might have been.
What are you talking about, bud?
Well, how do you know? Maybe you got jacked by crank yankers.
I think you could have been, Phil.
What are you? Are you an idiot, bud? You see me doing the voices of these characters.
Yeah, but just that one.
Just that one. That was me doing Clara Bingham.
Well, it was on tape. I couldn't know.
It was a tape from the other show that we did on Friday. Weren't you here?
Yeah.
Didn't you see me doing Clara?
In what sense?
What do you mean, doing Clara?
I was doing her voice. Hold on, David?
Yeah, Phil, look, the lady's got a point. How do you know it wasn't crank anchors, Jack?
Are you people out of your freaking mind? Well, you hired me. You know what I do for a living. I'm doing a voice of that character.
All right, do Clara's voice right now.
I think that's a very good, I think that's right.
I don't want to do Clara's...
Aha! So maybe you did do crank yankers. Maybe...
I don't want to come on here and show people how I do it.
Well, that's the point the lady's making.
See, that's my only point, Phil. How do you know it wasn't Ali G messing with you?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was Ali G. He's such an original. Freaking guy gets an Emmy written up in magazines all over the place. I'm sitting here...
Aha! So you're bitter. Bitter about...
I'm not bitter about anything. I just don't dig anybody calling up and saying I got jacked by crank yankers. Cold day in freaking hell before I get jacked by that show. As a matter of, like I said, man, and of course, Jimmy and I actually exchanged emails on this. He's all mad at me because I mentioned the fact that I was an inspiration for that show. He knows it. I know it. Hello, you're on the air. Yes, sir?
So, what did you do, Clara? Do her voice right now.
I don't want to do her voice.
All right, I'll do it. Yes, I think it's a very good... See, that's me. Then that was crank anchors jacking you. That young man must work for them.
No, he doesn't. He's a kid that calls my show. Do you work for crank yankers?
No. I just listen to your show a lot. I get a lot of the voices down.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, Phil. Why don't you do the Clara voice? And that will... I'm an attorney, and that will dissipate this lady's feeling that you got jacked by Ali G and the yank crankers. And,
what do you mean, Ali G and the yank crankers?
Phil, I really think you should. This is Margaret Drake.
Get on, all of you people just freaking driving me nuts. What do you want?
Can you get Jimmy Kimmel's autograph for me? I like that show, Yank Crankers. I think...
Okay. Enough said. That, Liam, thank you for your call, ma'am. You just put me in a great mood. Ali G, Jamie Kennedy, Punked, there's another one, Crank Yankers. All these shows came along after I got on the air. You know, I learned something very valuable from a program director of mine many years ago in Miami who said, look, all you can do is say it. You can't do anything about it, but you can say who the originator was, or at least who the inspiration for a lot of these shows was. And I'm convinced, I can't prove it, but the timeline is very clear. 1996, Phil Henry's radio show goes on the air in the city of Los Angeles, where all of these writers and producers live. Within the next couple of years, all of a sudden, what are we seeing? Oh, phone bits, crank yankers, Ali G. All of a sudden, everybody's like punking people and jacking people on the phone. Gee, I wonder where they got that idea, man. Now, I got all these cats writing me from The Simpsons to Just Shoot Me, all these dudes that write for these shows. I got TV directors coming in here. You trying to tell me just out of thin air, man, all of a sudden they started thinking of this stuff? Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to... Can you get Ali G's autograph?
Get these people out of my life.
That Ali G dude, some of his stuff ain't even funny. What's that whole, he was talking to, what's his name, that guy, who's the dude from Actors Studio, James, he's got that funny, Lipton. And he says to James Lipton, because Lipton teaches the method at the Actors Studio, he says, why are actors Methodists? Which I thought it was a little lame.
Phil, I'm sorry, can you get me Ali, I'm just kidding.
I don't want to talk about it anymore, ma'am. You put me on a bummer.
Well, I'm very sorry, but I'm pretty sure you were jacked by...
Yank crankers.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Can you get me James Lipton's autograph? He's really one of my idols.
I don't want any more calls from these people that are calling in, okay? What does the kid want? Look at kid...
No, I just... Can you get Ashton Kutcher's autograph? He's the...
All right, anywho, coming up, we have Bill Norgaard with the turkey bit, the turkey hunt, whatever his trouble is. He's running out to get a turkey, man. And Bud, you'll be happy to know we're finally going to go with a bit that you suggested called Bud's Bits That Suck.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Well, these are the bits that you suggested for our show, and I thought I'd...
Well, I think it's about time you recognize my contribution.
Jesus, I wish you could speak the English language, you idiot. 1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show will be right back. And also, don't forget our Best of the Phil. Yes, sir.
Can you get me to-
the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD? It's called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, and it's available now at our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Ashton Kutcher.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
It's time now for Bill Norgaard's Turkey Hunt. Getting ready for the Thanksgiving season is Bill Norgaard. Hey, everybody, this is Bill Norgaard, and welcome to our turkey hunt. We have got an exciting fall season ahead of you with the turkey hunting just around the corner. We're going to get ready for Thanksgiving. Now, remember last week I told you go out and get a camouflage outfit and a gun. Now, here's the thing you do this week is get yourself some camouflage paint, put it on your face. Next week I'll tell you how to load the gun. This has been Bill Norgaard's Turkey Hunt. Join us again next week when he tells you how to load the gun. Upcoming editions, where to find a turkey, how to shoot it, how to bring it home, how to pluck the feathers. They'll all be on Bill Norgaard's Turkey Hunt. Don't miss it.
Bill Norgaard's Turkey Hunt, a presentation of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Percent of Bill Norgaard's Turkey Hunt is banjo music. The rest is very vital information about how to go out, get the makeup, then put it on your face. What kind of camouflage makeup do you need to camouflage yourself from a turkey? What do you got to look like? How do you blend in the world of a turkey? Look like another turkey? You got a bunch of turkey feathers on your head and maybe not put off that facelift, okay? So you get a little bit of that sag in the neck? I don't know. All right, now look at this. I got a 1995. I don't have the 1996 fall television schedule, but I got the 1995 fall television schedule. This is just kind of, if you go with me on this, what I was talking about, our radio show, the Phil Henry Show, and the impact that we have had in the world of television in terms of the fact that our show, which goofs people calling into thinking that these imaginary characters are real. Now, all of a sudden, in the last 5 years, we've got all these shows that goof phone callers or, punk people out in public or set up scenarios where the unsuspecting what was that show that did? My fat slob fiance. And the whole pitch on the show is it's like you're hearing somebody talk about my show. And wait till you hear the idiots that think it's real. So I made the point to the caller that, you know, my radio show got on the air in 96 in the city of Los Angeles, where all these guys are hearing it, and suddenly they got all these original ideas about punking people, huh? Yeah, right. Now, I don't have the 96 fall schedule, but here's the 95 fall schedule. And the closest thing to punking, and this isn't even really it, because the people knew they were being filmed. They just probably didn't know it was going to be sent into a TV station. America's Funniest Home Videos. That's the closest thing. And that's not even what we, it's not even remotely close to what we do or any of these other shows like Crank Yankers or Yank My Cranker. 60 Minutes, Space, Above and Beyond. This was 1995. Listen to this. Brotherly Love, Pinky in the Brain, Sister Sister, Kirk, Mad About You. Remember when all those shows like Mad About You? That was where it was at back in the mid-90s. Lois and Clark, Married with Children, Simon, Misery Loves Company, The Marshall, Monday Night Foot, The Nanny. That was all the rage, man. Murphy Brown, if not, that's 1995, all right? Now, as soon as we find 1996, and that's up to my producer, Bud, have you found it yet?
I'm still looking, Phil. I'm going through the database.
Will you find it, you idiot? God, I got 95. Get me 96.
I'm collating.
What are you, Ian Holm from Alien? What do you mean you're collating?
I'm still collating the information.
Oh, great. Well, when you collate, man, you let me know.
I am. I'm collating now.
I mean, when you get done collating. Collating. Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Step, there ain't nothing on this schedule, even remotely. And I'll bet you money that if we looked at the 96 and the 97 schedule, not until 98, because I don't know. I don't know when these shows started getting on the air. I bet you not till around 98 that these shows like Crank Yankers and this stuff start hitting the air, because they got a big listen to Phil Hendry and they said, I wonder how we can do that on TV. What do you got, man? You got it yet?
I'm still collating.
Oh, God, if you use that word collate one more time, I'm going to knock you to the moon. Here's something here. Thank you very much, Mark. Mark got all this stuff for me.
What's this?
This is stuff that Mark got for me for 1996.
What, didn't he collate?
I guess he didn't collate, man. I guess he just went and did it. Now, is this, what is this, Mark? This is 96?
Yeah.
And this is the shows that are, these are the shows. See, these are all game shows.
Here's reality shows.
Reality shows. These were the reality shows that were on the air in 1996. Cops, Court TV, LAPD, Real Stories of the Highway Patrol, Rescue 911. All right? Nothing in there about, jacking the freaking callers. What's real TV? Real TV is just a bunch of cats that are running around in ambulances and stuff, right? Yeah. Judge Judy, Access Hollywood. I mean, you know, it just goes on in a hard copy. Extra, Entertainment Tonight. Remember all those shows were like so Strange Universe. What's that? American Journal, Day and Date.
Strange Universe, that was bitchin'. Did you ever see that? It was bitchin'.
What was it about?
I forget, but I really liked it a lot. It's about a universe, and it was outer space and stuff.
Oh, bull crap. You don't even remember what it was.
No, it was neat.
American Journal, hard copy. You know, there you go, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune. Nothing, man. Nothing, baby. Now I'll bet you if we went to 97 and 1998, here we go. Here is the TV schedule for, what, is this 1996?
Yes.
60 Minutes, Big Deal, Dateline, Third Rock, Simpsons, Touched by an Angel, Boston Common, Steve Harvey Show, Unhappily Ever After, Life with Roger, NBC, X-Files, Dangerous Minds. What was that? Oh, that's that teacher living in a gangster's paradise? Oh, they ripped off the movie. Yeah, back then they were ripping off movies. After I hit the air, they started ripping off radio shows. Chicago Hope, Lush Life, Sparks. There ain't nothing in here, man, about yanking anybody's crank. Malcolm and Eddie, Good Behavior, Mr. Rhodes. Just a load, man. Jeff Foxworthy. Just the usual load of old rubbish that television was laying on us in those days. Something So Right, Homeboys in Outer Space. Boy, there was a great idea. Homeboys in Outer Space?
That show is so bitchin'. I loved it.
What was it about, bud?
I forget.
Well, the title tells you something, doesn't it?
But it was really neat.
Frasier, Burning Zone. What was that about, bud? Hemorrhoids? Caroline in the City. Oh, there's a big one. Mad About You. Okay. Then we move on. This is 1996. So I'm proving to you that there was nothing having to do with punking callers or sending up setting up situations and sending up situations and yanking people and punking people or anything else. The Sentinel, Sister Sister, Wings, John Larroquette Show, Almost Perfect, News Radio, Party of Five. Not that these were bad shows. News Radio was a great show. Party of Five, that was a great show. The Jamie Foxx Show, that was cool. Or was it?
No, it sucked.
Okay. The Drew Carey Show.
That did suck.
Well, you're right about that. Boy, talk about a show that like was funny its first year and then just went into the toilet right after that, but it stayed on the air for a number of years. You know, I got to hand it to you, Drew. You really milked that piece of crap. High incident, diagnosis, murder, and nothing. Homicide. I could go on and on and on just trying to find something here that is even remotely similar to a show that has anything to do with situational comedy whereby an unsuspecting person is put into a hilarious situation, whether it's calling out like they do on Crank Yankers or setting up the situation and having them sign an affidavit like they do on Ali G. You have to sign, you know, your release on Ali G before you even do that stuff, right? Our show, we don't do any of that, man. We set up the situation, people call us. In any event, after we went on the air, then all of a sudden these shows start popping up. So don't start telling me, man, that it just all of a sudden spontaneously started popping into your pea brain.
You talking to me?
No, I'm not talking to you, bud. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Original.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Mark Blocky joins us. Mark is a Democratic Party fundraiser. He's also a chairman of Democrats for Truth. I just want to get him on for just a couple of minutes. We won't have time to take any phone calls about just a kind of a recap on where the Democrats are going to go now in terms of 2008. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing surprisingly well, Phil, considering the results of the election. We're disappointed, but we're ready to move forward.
What are the plans? I mean, everybody's talking Hillary. Is that really going to be the case?
I don't know just yet if Hillary Clinton will want to throw her hat into the ring, but I will tell you that what we will do is we will get the White House back, and we're going to do it. And you can take that to the bank, my friend. You can bet the farm on that. We're not going to allow what happened to us here in the past election to happen again, because what happened to us in the last election was akin to almost like being run down in the road by a truck and getting up and trying to walk off the freeway and getting hit again by the same truck. It's almost as if they turned around and aimed for us again, and we have 1,440 days left of the Bush regime, and then you can kiss it goodbye. Because I'm going to tell you what they did to me personally and what they did to my party on November the 2nd, I will never forgive them for that. And when we get back in the White House in 2008, I'm going to tell you and every one of the people listening right now, they are not going to do what they did to us then. Now, we will find a way, and they will pay. They will pay for the things they've done to us. All this morality, all this talk about abortions and these kinds of things is a smokescreen for the things they wanted to do. Those bastard Republicans will pay. Pay with their lives if I must. I will have those people. I will hang them from a meat hook. I will have, my name is Mark Blocky, as sure as I'm sitting here. I will have them hanging from piano wire. What they did to me, to my party, is inexcusable. Damn, I gotta give up those cigarettes, you know. But it's bullcrap.
All right, Mark, well, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Mark Blocky, who has obviously feeling the sting of the defeat. And you want to say something else?
Hogan, I will give you 30 days in the cooler, Hogan, if you don't return with a spatula from this...
Thank you. That was Colonel Klink calling in just to give us a recap of the election there from last week. All right, so what have we got? We've got the Democrats upset. We have the Republicans sitting there in the White House feeling pretty smug. And then there's just you and I, and we're sitting right in the middle, having to suck on it, as the man said. I'm Phil Hendry, and that's just one reporter's opinion. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com, as well as a website for you to visit and enjoy at www.philhendryshow.com. Coming up is a little thing that Bud Dickman wants me to do, which is to read the bits that he brought to the table during our show prep process that we didn't use. We also will have Jim Randolfini, the California Chamber of Commerce representative, and Don Chow's Ancient Chinese for Beginners. We're now taking a look at the news. Many reality shows are faltering. I just talked about the reality shows I don't consider to be something that came around because of me, but I tell you one thing, they did come around as the result of a sudden, unexpected, I think in their mind, success of talk radio. But I'll take the credit for those two. Television networks are learning a harsh lesson in reality. Too many reality shows are a turnoff as broadcasters increasingly binge on unscripted shows starring ordinary folks willing to do almost anything for money, romance, or 15 minutes of fame. The burgeoning genre of reality TV appears to be wearing a bit thin with U.S. audiences. I think one of the reasons for this is all they are game shows. You know, they're just game shows. It's just game shows that are outdoors, that's all. In other words, instead of being in the studio, jumping up and down on a trampoline or carrying a ball on your nose across the set to drop in a tank of water and then winning money, it's just like it's outdoors. You're on an island and you're having to eat rat meat. You know, the things that would have turned off an audience, say, in the 60s and 70s, someone eating rat meat and getting connubial in some weeds with one of the other contestants, people hang with that now. Just like every game show, these game shows are going to wear thin. It says, you had a few really good shows, said producer Bernie Brillstein, and now they turn them out like they were bad two-hour movies. Inspired by the success of such blue-chip franchises as Survivor and American Idol, the networks have increasingly loaded up on unscripted knockoffs. That's the other thing. They're El Cheapo to produce. When you promise a guy he's going to win himself $100,000 or $200,000, boy, I tell you what, the money those cats make on those shows, the winner ought to get like $3 million. They'd still be out ahead. But if you don't have to pay any writers and, you know, you don't have to pay any actors, you're making yourself a bundle, baby. Nowhere has this become more apparent lately than at Fox, which currently devotes about 60% of its primetime schedule to unscripted shows. Boy, what happened to that network? Remember when that's the same network that brought us The Simpsons. Funniest show in the history of television. King of the Hill. Another funny show. Now they get a new regime over there, and hey, let's start saving a whole lot of money, and we'll just be really bold. We'll do a lot of really unfunny and unoriginal reality shows, and people will think they're really original because it says Fox at the beginning of the show. No, they still suck, man. The Next Great Champ. Remember when I said that thing was going to die a horrifying death because it had no sex? It was about some guy being a prize fighter? Who cares? You got it. My Big Fat Obnoxious Boss.
They brought us Married with Children. Those were the days.
Yeah, Married with Children. That was a funny show. Not as funny as The Simpsons.
No. Well, it's a matter of opinion.
I wish you wouldn't butt in every time I'm talking about something. Why'd you get that thing ready, that Bud's bits that suck?
They didn't suck.
Well, they did, and we're going to do them. Not do them, we're going to read about them. After taking a dive with its much-ballyhooed boxing show, The Great Champ, My Big Fat Obnoxious Boss, and Sir Richard Branson's The Rebel Billionaire. Those are going to launch this month. My Big Fat Obnoxious Boss hasn't got any TNA, baby. Unless the boss is a female. And the Rebel Millionaire is going to be another, it's going to be like a Fear Factor, jumping out of, did you see the clips for this thing? What are they doing? They're jumping out of jets into a jet stream and seeing if they can survive having the air sucked out of their lungs. And then they get to be the president of Richard Branson's company, which only means you're going to have to take his phone calls every day of your life. I don't know how much he's paying at that position. Every day, that clown will... You think you're going to be the boss? No. He's the CEO, baby. President of the company nowadays means there's some guy who's about 86, or in Branson's case, 46, who's sitting on a board somewhere, and he's calling at all hours of the day.
Do you think you should really make that decision?
Second-guessing everything that you're going to say. After a year, you're going to be ready to jump out of that airplane for real, man. No parachute, no nothing. I got it. How about my big, fat, obnoxious suicide? And the winner, all the money goes to his surviving relatives. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Richard, hello. Richard.
Hello. What's up, dude?
How are you, man?
I'm great, dude. I have a point to make. I think I'm not sure. You could correct me, but there is a show before your show that is pranked callers, and I don't think you...
What show was that?
You can't even take a guess, man.
Pranked callers?
Yeah, or not pranked callers, but as pranked people.
Candid camera.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't understand, man. I don't prank anybody. People call me. Do you understand the difference? When you set a situation up and you trap people in a situation where they don't know they're on camera or they don't know that they're on a telephone or being recorded, that's chumping somebody, which is easy to do. Easiest thing in the world to do. What I do is I get people to willingly call and engage a character. I don't have to have them sign releases. I don't have to tell them that the thing is, you know, you're going to be on TV, you're going to be on radio. They're calling a radio show. Candid camera does something that's very easy. It does what the Jerky Boys did and the Ball Busters and all those guys. It makes crank phone calls. It doesn't take any freaking talent to do that. Anybody can pick up a phone and call someone's number, record them without them knowing it, and goof them. We get people to call a radio show knowing that they're going to be on the air talking to made-up voices. Big, big, big difference.
I think you get your point, Phil.
All right, do you get my point?
Yeah, I get your point.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
God bless you. Adam, hello.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, man. What can we do for you, dude?
Yeah, I was just calling. You kind of just answered my question, though, with the Jerky Boys. I was saying the same thing.
Yeah, the Jerky Boys are crank. They crank call people. They call. Get a phone book. Yeah. Look up some numbers. Play a character. Record it. And in the Jerky Boys' case, I don't know if they got any releases because, like, who knows that they're being recorded.
Yeah.
And if you record somebody, by the way, in the state of California, this is the thing that drives me nuts. I hear a lot of people putting people on the air. You cannot put anybody on the air without first getting their permission off the air. And you can't record them without first getting their permission before the tape starts. And I hear a lot of guys going around that. Now, maybe they're doing it in some states where it's not a felony. In the state of California, it's a felony to record someone or to put them on a live microphone or a live camera without first getting their permission. A felony.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how long has that been a rule for?
I don't know how long that's been law. It probably had something to do with candid camera way back in the day.
Ah,
you know?
I see. Yeah.
But what a lot of those guys do is later on, like Ali G, I think he has them sign a release after the fact.
Yeah.
But what I was saying to that other guy is, and I'm not saying the Jerky Boys weren't funny.
Yeah.
But it's a big difference, man, enticing people to call you and be a part of a radio show than calling up odd numbers, cranking them, and then recording it, and then feeling like you're some comedy genius. Because, you know, like anybody could do that.
Yeah, I understand.
In fact, didn't you used to do that as a kid? Because I did.
Yeah, you know, of course.
I used to call up people, and if I got a woman, I'd go, "Hello, Mommy." And she'd go, "Yes, dear? Mommy. Honey, I'm not your mom. Mommy, I'm scared, Mommy." And then she'd say, "Well, what can I put your head between your knees?" And then I'd hang up.
Well, you know, it's still like prank. It's still punking them, you know. It is,
but all I'm doing is it goes a step. It's like almost in a parallel dimension because these are intelligent people who would never consider themselves bait for a show like Candid Camera,
willingly
calling our show,
and
doing their thing. So,
all right, well, I'll
thanks
do
for
that.
Calling, man.
All right, man.
All right,
bye.
Now that you explain the show, it's nobody going to call again.
Nobody never going to call again. Don't worry about it. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show. Jim Randolfi coming up next on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, Jim, this law in the... And Jim Randolfi joins me from the California Chamber of Commerce. Two babies can't be washed in the same tub at the same time. This law is still in effect.
Well, California is leading the fight against child porn. And we feel that it's necessary to discourage it at any level.
You're telling me there's a law in the books in the state of California where two babies can't be washed in the same tub at the same time?
It absolutely is on the books, and it's one that we should be proud of.
But do you know that women, that's how they bathe their children?
I understand, but women are going to have to find another way. The California initiative that makes it illegal to bathe two babies at once in the same tub is one that will help California continue to lead the fight against child porn.
It's an idiotic law. It's beyond belief.
Well, Phil, I can tell you that I fought child pornography for a long time, and it starts with a mother washing her child.
Well, come on, man. I mean, that's insulting to any mother listening.
Really? What about a woman who is in the child pornography business?
Are there people like that?
You would be surprised, Phil. The women, the men, the individuals that we find. So we don't want to engage anyone in a debate. We simply want to let them know this is a law in the state of California.
All right, let's take some phone calls on this, on the California initiative. I got David G. Hall, as a matter of fact, who's the vice president of programming for my show. David?
Look, Phil, this has gone on long enough. I want you to end it.
What?
This bit.
What bit? This guy's actually a guy.
You're trying to tell me there's a law that they... I want you to stop the bit.
There is a law.
I can assure you, Mr. Hall, there is a law.
There's no law that prohibits people from washing babies. Are you crazy?
Not from prohibiting from washing babies. Two babies at the same time.
Oh, crap. Now get it off the air.
Do I have to go?
No. Don't worry about it. Hi, you're on the air.
Phil, I have to concur with your boss. This has gone on long enough. This is the most distasteful thing I've ever heard. To say that there's a law where a woman can't...
Look, ma'am...
Let me finish. Where a woman can't wash her children in a tub, I think is the height of bad taste, bad humor. It's not funny.
Ma'am, there really is a law on the books in the state of California that says you can't wash two babies in a tub at the same time.
You're a liar. And I think you're not only a liar, you're a scurrilous liar to continue this kind of...
Ma'am, it's on the books. Look it up.
I'm not going to look up any such thing. Go straight to the devil.
No, ma'am.
Sorry, Philip, I got you in some trouble.
Don't worry about it. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I've enjoyed your program for many years, Mr. Henry, but to say you can't wash two babes in a tub, put two little tiny babes in a tub, say that's pornographic...
Sir, that's a real law in the state of California.
My bare rear end it is. And I can tell you right now that I will sue you if you keep talking about it.
Mr. Henry, I think maybe I should just get off the air.
No. This is not... No, hold on. David...
I told you to stop, didn't I?
David, I
told you to stop this bit. Telling people you can't have two babies in a bathtub. That's ridiculous. Now stop the bit now.
Mr. Henry, you're going to get fired.
I don't care. We're getting comments on the California law that says two babies can't be washed in the same tub at the same time. RC, go ahead.
Yeah, great show as always, Mr. Henry, but this law, it's a crock of...
Was that what you call a crank call?
Yes, that was a crank call. The law says that you can't wash two... David...
Well, what are you still talking about? Is this freak still with you?
I don't like being called a freak. What's your name? My name is Jim Randolfi.
Jim Randolfi? Well, Jim, why don't you ram this up your Delphi? I want this off the air. I'm the program director. I'm the guy that calls the shots. Babies can't be washed in a tub together, huh? Next thing you want me to believe that maybe we can actually travel to Mars and land men there. Not in a million years will that ever happen. Men traveling through space. Why, I remember the...
Bug off.
Phil, I think it's important for people to realize this is a good law.
Well, it sounds like it's such a ridiculous law, with all due respect, that nobody believes it.
No one believes it?
Yeah, no one believes that law exists.
Mr. Henry, this law has been on the books in the state of California. You can look it up on any website dealing with the codification of laws in the state of California. You can't
wash two babies in the same tub at the same time for fear that somebody might get child porn ideas.
That's exactly right.
And you're proud of that.
Yes, I am. Why, I fought for the rights of children all over the world, except in countries where, frankly, the kids are a little dirty and they run around. And
yeah, I understand. But you fight for the rights of children where they have like a roof over their head and there's two parents and you can bug the parents.
Now, this isn't what that's about at all.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead with your comment.
Phil, I want you to know that I don't think I'm going to listen to you anymore because you're so full of crap, your eyes are brown.
No one's buying it.
No one's buying it. And that's too bad, because that law exists.
Well, I'm very proud to have sponsored it. I'm Jim Randolfi. If you want to know more about what could lead someone into the world of child pornography, for instance, not only bathing two babies in the same tub, but then taking them out and drying them off, what pervert would do that? I'm Jim Randolfi. Thank you so much, Phil, for your time.
You're a sick man.
I'm a sick man. Boy, you really... And by the way, a lot of people are drying off the kids with the same towel. What kind of a sick, twisted piece of crap would do that?
You?
Other than me.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley and our Thanksgiving Bobby Dooley Marathon over the Thanksgiving weekend. Don't forget that. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It really is a law. It really is.
Bull crap.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We had Larry Grover on our show on Friday night talking as a spokesman for conservatives of Kern County. Larry is enjoying the re-election of President Bush so much that they're driving around with a bullhorn, taunting people who still have Kerry Edwards stickers on their cars.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, Larry, this is Rhonda. I'm in Las Vegas, and a couple of points. First of all, I'm a diehard Bush supporter. Excuse me, sir.
Yes,
would you like
I'm
to at least
you.
Do a courtesy and show a little respect?
Yes, ma'am,
here?
I'm listening to you. Just feedback from the bullhorn. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, a little bit of respect. I am a Bush. Excuse me. I am a Bush supporter.
Just turn it off,
he
Ted.
I'm trying to turn it off. Hold on.
Turn it off, man.
This guy's unbelievable.
It's off.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Show a little respect here. I am a diehard Bush supporter. That is my president. I support every action in regards to the war, in regards to terrorism and everything else that he has done. And I am ashamed to have you as part of my party, and I guarantee you my president would not condone your actions of retribution.
Very well
said. And if a crazy person followed me down a highway, flashing their lights and flipping me off, you are damn straight I would go straight to a police station. I'm a human being. Show me some damn respect.
I'm not going to do anything to you, Rhonda. You're a Bush supporter, and you're not a Kerry supporter, so stupid you got the sticker on the car.
But why does
That's
that person...
That's right, but there's a better way to act like that. I'm ashamed to have you as part of my party.
All right, well, what's
and
wrong with what we're doing tonight?
My president probably would be ashamed to have you doing this
in his name.
Right, how dare you embarrass us this way?
Well, hold on. Let's say everything you're saying is correct, all right? Let's say we don't follow women down the road anymore. What's wrong with
not
the bullhorn?
Not just women, people, anyone.
What's wrong with the bullhorn? What's wrong with
not,
your...
Let me tell you something. I'm 36 years old, sir. And I can find a better way to fight stupidity and support for Kerry other than to stooping to their level and acting like an idiot.
Ted, I want to say something to you. The last time I pulled stuff like this, I was like 16.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, so here we go. Now I'm being juvenile. Is that it?
I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. And I bet you if Mr. Bush were to hear this, our wonderful president,
when can a man have a little bit of fun in this world? After 3 years of trying to get this man reelected, President Bush, a man that we all love.
It scares me that you think it's fun to scare other people.
I'm not scared. No, I'm just, look, here comes a guy here. Hold on.
But you are scaring
him. Hold on.
Whether you want to admit that or not, you are scaring them.
Hold on. This is some old guy. Look at this.
Unbelievable. And that right there shows the amount of respect he has for himself or any other human being.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I'm ashamed.
You're scared of some old guy.
I am truly ashamed, and there's a better way to fight politics than to be as nasty as this.
But, Rhonda, these Kerry people wanted our president dead from cyanide poisoning.
You, sir, are making,
oh, come on.
You are way far down a road making way too many assumptions.
No,
there may have been some idiot out there that spoke those type of words, but that doesn't mean every supporter out there agrees.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you're a much better person than me. You're more forgiving than me. These Kerry supporters, I think we ought to make them bleed, and I mean bleed from every hole, because...
Oh, would you watch your language?
Oh, my goodness. I'm ashamed, and I bet my president is ashamed.
Hey, hey, pops.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, Pops, it's me again. Guy's chasing people around. There's Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County getting, I guess, what you would call a little payback. Going around and bugging people who still got Kerry Edwards stickers on their cars. 1-800-449-8686. Okay, bud, I got the list here, all right?
All right, you talk about comedy gold. This is comedy gold.
Well, this is the list of bits that you wanted me to do on the show.
Right. Read them off. Everybody will know that it's comedy gold.
Don't keep using that word, those words, comedy gold. They mean something to me.
Mean something to me, too.
Well, this is your idea of comedy gold. Breathe in helium from a balloon and pretend you had a sex change.
It's great.
Don't belch in my face like that.
I'm sorry. I just had some Robbie Mac's pizza. It's the best.
Robbie Mac does do great pizza.
Mark, hit the comedy gold.
Mark, don't hit the cup.
Go ahead.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Breathe in helium from a balloon and pretend you had a sex change.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Isn't that great?
Stupidest thing I ever heard. Then here's one. Use the barf sound effect and pretend you had food poisoning.
Yeah, it'd be great. You could go, bleh. I have food poisoning, everybody. I'm sorry I can't do the show as good as I usually do, but I got food poisoning.
Well, how's that funny?
The barf sound is great. Everybody laughs at barf sound.
Bud, you can't just rely on fart noises and barf sounds, okay? You can't rely on belches.
Right. Relying on belches is not good highbrow comedy.
Exactly. Call the President of the United States and pretend you're Osama. What makes you think I'm going to get anywhere near President Bush?
Are you kidding? If you call up and say you're Osama bin Laden, he'll sure want to talk to you, ask you where you are and stuff.
What do you think? He's a complete idiot? The president's going to, oh yeah, Osama's on line 3. Well, I got to take this call, find out where he is. And then here's one. What is this, bud? You want me to use the fart sound effect to pretend like I have dysentery? Are you crazy?
This is hilarious.
You can't just do farts and belches and stupid phone calls to President Bush.
Do you know how funny it'd be if you get President Bush on the phone? Oh, yeah, Mr. President, Osama bin Laden. And then you have him on the radio and everything.
You can't call that guy up, man. He's not going to take a phone call from a radio host.
Well, you can pretend like you're Condoleezza Rice.
Like he don't know what she sounds like. They probably got all kinds of code there. How am I going to get it through?
Boy, you sure don't know how to just go for it, man. Why don't you just try it?
Oh, do you know how the guys that are trying to call Bush? The million freaking radio shows trying to get him on the air. Right. What am I going to do? Call up and say I'm Condoleezza Rice, and then what?
You're going to say you're Condoleezza Rice and say I just want to call and thank you for making me Secretary of the State.
Like she hasn't done that already.
Maybe she forgot.
In all the hubbub, huh? She forgot to thank him?
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Phil. This is Chris. I just listened to some of his ideas, and they're pretty good. Yeah.
See, I told you.
Which one do you think was good?
Calling the president and pretending you're Osama bin Laden. I think it would be really funny if you could do it.
Yeah, it'd be funny if I could do it, but I can't do it. How am I going to get through?
Well, I mean, it's like Bud was saying, I have a little more canejos.
Yeah, you should have more canejos.
Canejo is rabbit. You mean cajones.
Isn't it Caneo?
No, Caneo is Spanish for rabbit.
Well, you should have more rabbits.
Yeah, I should have a couple of big rabbits in my pants, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
Thanks for your call, sir. Hi, Bobby, you're on the air.
Phil, I like the barf sound and then you pretending you had food poisoning. I thought
you thought that was funny.
Oh, yeah.
See?
I think you should try it.
You think I should try it? All right, look at this. David Hall is called back again. How many times are you going to be on my show tonight?
As long as you keep screwing this show up, I'll be on. Now do the barf sound and pretend like you got food poisoning. It's hysterical. It's high comedy.
Thanks, Mr. Hall.
It's all right, bud.
See?
All right. Do we have the barf sound effect? Oh, you got to be crazy, man, if you think this is funny stuff.
You just heard the people.
All right, here goes. Oh, my stomach, I've got food poisoning.
That's so great. That's great.
Hey, man, maybe they'll bring back Homeboys from Outer Space.
Oh, I mean, what? I'm talking about a 1-2 punch. You puking and then Homeboys from Outer Space.
We'll be right back in the filth.
No, wait a minute. Don't puke some more.
Blah. How's that?
All right, now go out.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
To pre-order the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com. Tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley is with us, and she'll be with her husband, Steve, and they'll be talking about all the unacceptable and disgusting things that happen at Western Estates, their beautiful gated community. And on Thanksgiving, don't forget our Bobby Dooley Marathon will be coming up. Okay. Now, a little look, at the news. And Ohio is going to go through a statewide vote recount after all. And that is because Libertarian candidate Michael Bednarik and Green Party candidate David Cobb are paying for it. They have collected money, and they want to pay for this recount. They've raised more than $150,000 in 4 days, mostly in small contributions. Ohio law requires payment of $10 per precinct for a recount, or $113,600 statewide. They said they aren't trying to overturn President Bush's 136,000 vote victory in Ohio. They just want to ensure that all votes were counted properly in the face of concerns about Election Day irregularities. Now, that sounds fair. Nothing wrong with that. It's funny how we're all geniuses now with this vote recount thing, though, right? Oh, yeah, there's got to be something. It makes me wonder how many presidents in the history of this country have been legitimately elected. Isn't that a fair question? Like, of all the guys we've had for president, how many of these guys actually won? Now, everybody knows 1960, there were some questions there, right? At least from Richard Nixon's standpoint, the Republican Party standpoint, Kennedy played around with some of the votes in that one. Now, how a challenger and an incumbent vice president, how a challenger has some machination that a incumbent vice president doesn't have, I don't know. But the Kennedy money, they say, got spread around in that one pretty good. And apparently bought a few votes. But I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if Clinton got elected legitimately. Do you?
Well, he won by 85 million.
Yeah, but see, he got less than 50%. Who knows? All of a sudden now, this is going to be with us. Oh, God, I can see it now. It's going to be with us for the next 100 years.
Well, was it legitimate?
You know, I was watching C-SPAN. I actually dig C-SPAN. Because they have cool things on there, like just... yeah, discussions. Every now and again, I like to flip it on. There'll be some guys, like, talking real stuff, you know, like really intelligent things. Nobody's doing any shtick. They're actually trying to inform people. But they've got that guy that reads the newspapers and takes phone calls. And I don't know what his name is, but he'll be looking at papers, and he'll be getting phone calls. All right, let's take another phone call from Sammy. Hello, Sammy.
Yeah, I think this guy Bush stole the election. I think this guy's a thief.
And while this guy is... the caller is spewing all of this nonsense. The dude who's the host of the show is just calmly looking at the newspaper. And I mean, the guy could say something like,
and I'll tell you right now, I hope Bush gets cancer of the brain. I hope that guy.
And the guy, well, thank you for your call. All right, now let's move on. Like, he wasn't even listening. And it's probably his gig not to comment. I'm sure they say, don't comment. Just let the people have their way. Well, it's talk. It's the worst talk radio you ever saw. is what it is. It's bad talk radio that you're looking at, right? No real screening of the calls, just mental cases. This one woman called,
well, I think I'm very liberal, and I think he's stolen, and I think he's this. And
every cliche accusation you could toss at the guy, that's what she tossed. He stole the election. He loves the fact that soldiers are dying. And the guy says, oh, thank you. All right, let's go to Candy Johnson. She's over at the Miami Book Fair, and you know, it's pretty funny. It's pretty pathetic, too. But in any event, I think it's pretty good. You know, go ahead, man. Recount the votes. Why not? I want to find out whether the thing's legit. I just, now, I got to ask myself, did Lincoln get elected legitimate? You know, maybe he didn't. And back in those days. So, suppose Lincoln didn't get elected legitimately. Suppose we stumbled into one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. We mistakenly put him in office. Suppose, like Roosevelt, Kennedy, Reagan. What if Reagan, I know it was a landslide, but just because a vote's close doesn't necessarily mean, just because a vote isn't close doesn't necessarily mean there aren't irregularities. And I don't like that word irregularity either. Reminds me of, frankly, it reminds me of my, you know, my daily ablutions. My daily,
bowel movement?
I wasn't going to say that, jackass.
Well, that's what you're looking for.
I don't need you to remind me of it, man. I'm trying to be delicate here.
You're the one talking about her being regular.
Now, Lincoln won the Electoral College by 180. Back in those days, what did you need? 180? I don't know. Now, you got to have 270, because there were way more electoral votes now. Lincoln got 180. Some guy by the name of Breckinridge got 72. Guy by the name of Bell, 39. And Stephen Douglas got 12. Lincoln won pretty good, right? But that's electoral votes. Who knows how the hell that popular vote went, right? I don't know what I'm talking about. Hello, I'm Phil Hendry, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Moving on, order refusing GI should be punished. The Army is recommending punishment for 24 soldiers from an Army Reserve unit in Iraq that refused orders to drive a fuel convoy because they believed it was too dangerous. Now, why would you want to punish soldiers that don't follow orders? Why, that's ridiculous. The Army. Every time I read about it, there it is again, the Army. I'm sorry. Don't mean to be disrespecting our... There's a lot of great guys in the Army. Don't you guys that are in the Army that are, like, really good and good soldiers and do your job and love your country and will fight to the death to defend it and will follow orders and believe yourself to be a good soldier and believe your commanders to be good commanders? Doesn't it embarrass you every time you read about some Army schlub who doesn't want to do this, doesn't want to do that? He's crying to his mama because he wants to come home. He's got an ingrown toenail and he's just all scared and he's all in a heap. Touting tofu chowder and vegetarian sushi as alternatives, animal rights activists have launched a novel campaign arguing that fish, contrary to stereotype, are intelligent, sensitive animals, no more deserving of being eaten than a pet cat or a dog. Now, here's something about fish. Seriously, I'm reading. This is an article, PETA. They're going to, before you know it, PETA is going to guilt us into starving to death. They'll just guilt us all the way out of the idea of food. They're going to guilt, and if they can't guilt us, you know, PETA, the only reason why we get problems with PETA, anybody, is their methods are quasi-threatening, aren't they? Aren't they a little aggressive? Don't you feel as if you're being threatened, like, physically? Every time they say something or do something, they're so, like, in love with fish. Next thing you know, they're going to want to have to, not only are they intelligent and deserving, but they also can, you can have sex with them. It's not abuse. They understand. That's the next thing you guys at PETA are going to be talking. I swear to God, I know you think it's crazy, but I bet you in about 50 years you guys, why can't you have sex with a fish? If it's intelligent and understands what you're doing, it may enjoy it. I bet you anything. This just in, PETA is now saying that tangerines are sensitive and caring fruit. And there are no more deserving to be turned into juice than anybody else. Anyway, if you look at a fish, you'll notice this about saltwater fish. Their eyes move around. Now, I've always considered the movement of eyes to be a sign of some level of intelligence. And a fish will kind of look at you. A saltwater fish will stare and look up and down as if it's tracking things with its brain. A lake fish, a trout, has got that dumbass look. Trout and salmon just. So I got no problem eating those guys because they're the dumbest. They taste great for dumbbells. But you imagine a lake fish and a seawater fish? What are you?
I'm a trout.
You're a trout. Isn't that nice?
Why are you? You look funny.
Really? I'm a manta ray. Manta rays are out of sight. Have you ever gotten in the water with a manta ray? I love those fish. They are extremely intelligent, wonderful animals. They don't like being stepped on. They'll drive a spike in your leg, but they're the coolest, just the coolest animals. I'm a manta ray.
Great.
Look, why don't you go eat some freaking salmon eggs or something? You're bugging me. Mr. Trout. It's Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.